Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. For any person of faith, prayer is an integral part of life. It is the primary means for communicating with God, but for Catholics, it's also a key way we support those in need of divine intercession. We pray to God, to Mary, to the saints, for the benefit of others. Perhaps it's someone in poor health, or someone who's lost a loved one, a job, or even a home, to help people in their prayer lives and to become better prayers, either for themselves or for others. The Archdiocese created a prayer ministry led by Mrs. Pat Nadolny. Pat, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
I said the Archdiocese began a prayer ministry, but really it was you who began it on behalf of the diocese. What led you to do this?
Well, over 5 years ago now, a woman came to the Catholic Center, asked for an appointment with the Archbishop, and Sean Kane and I met with her. She shared her desire to have on our website a prayer line. Sean and I both thought it was a great idea, but neither of us had the time to do it. But by the grace of God, the time and the way to make it happen came about.
And how did you, so we meet with this woman and, you know, we talk about it occasionally, and then, you know, things changed with your job and you're able to devote the time to it. So how'd you get started?
Had a goal. Started the new job on March 5th, 2014, with the goal of starting the prayer line by May. Thought we'd have to develop a website so that people could go to that website and find out what we were talking about as far as prayer and how to get in touch with us. I also thought I need to find 30 people to pray, which was easy because the Catholic Center has a prayer group, and so I use them as the core.
So you kind of had a built-in seed.
We had a built-in seed. We had 10 people that meet regularly every Wednesday morning to pray for the people's needs in the building. And so they were there, and I asked them if they would be the seed group. From there, I called a couple priests I knew who were interested in prayer and who had prayer groups in their parishes. And I got the rest of the people, the other 20 people, from those two groups.
So the ministry really consists of two parts. One is a, kind of a resource part, and then the second is a team of people to pray. Let's start with the resources. What are some of the kinds of resources you put on the website?
Went in and found some traditional Catholic prayers that people used. Some thoughts on praying the rosary for people who had never prayed the rosary. Instructions on how to pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. Meditations that would go through the screen with little scriptures that would come on. Also, went to our Hispanic ministries and had them do a segment of it in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So the resources are on there in both Spanish and English.
And for people who don't realize that there are different prayers for different needs, are there not?
There are. I mean, what Catholic you know hasn't prayed to St. Jude for impossible causes or lost something and went to St. Anthony?
Right.
But, you know, prayer is prayer. And the whole joy of prayer is just praying. So we can look for that lost item with St. Anthony. We can simply go to our Father and say, I lost my keys. I lost my keys, Lord. How am I going to get to work today? And so you just come to the Father and lay out your petitions.
And when you're putting together those resources, did you learn things along the way that you didn't know? Like there are different like categories of prayers, you know?
I learned about contemplative prayer. I learned about meditation. Mm-hmm. learning to come to God in the silence. You know, we always think prayer has to be our mouths moving, but prayer is really powerful when you simply come to God in the quiet.
So it can be very internal.
Very internal at times. Mm-hmm. That you can be led in the silence to hear God's voice. And most of us don't make time for that.
No, and especially in a culture where we aren't great at listening all the time.
Yes.
And how much a part of praying is listening?
It's a powerful part, because sometimes we're so busy telling God what we want, we really fail to hear what he wants for us and to open ourselves up to accept his will for us and not our own.
What's your personal views on prayer?
Oh, it's the core of everything I am. I think my relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, learning to talk to him throughout the day, each and every day, it just sets the tone for my day, and it gets me through even the most horrible times of my life. I'll never forget, my husband died suddenly, and I went to the hospital, and he was there. He died. And I came back, and everybody thought that I was going to have a nervous breakdown because I was so calm. But the truth of the matter is, while everybody was looking for me to help me, I went in the corner of the hospital, and I said, "Lord, whatever happens, it's up to you. I just accept whatever it is, because I know from this day on my life will never be the same."
And you let him shoulder the burden.
I let him shoulder the burden.
And did that bring this sense of, I can do this, it's, you know, it's not perfect, it's not what I want, but
right.
I know he's got my back.
Right, because at that time my children were both married, old enough to move on with their lives so that we could move on with ours, and all of a sudden all the plans I had were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just, in those few words, "Lord, this is yours," it was peace that carried me through. The people probably thought I was nuts.
They're still waiting for you to have your breakdown.
Right.
So let's shift gears to the prayer team now. So what's the size of it now? I know you've grown it tremendously. And who are the kinds of people who belong to it? Outside the Catholic Center.
The whole concept when I was doing this was to create, in the early days of the Charismatic Renewal, they had something called prayer chains. And so any time of the day or night, you would get a call from somebody and say, so-and-so needs prayer. And then I was assigned 10 people that I called. And I would say, somebody needs prayer, and they would pray for them. So that's basically what I've done with this. I have about 150 regular people that I send it to each day. But each one of those people send it out to other people. I have a woman who represents the Filipino community. She gets it out to the Filipino community. Somebody from the Hispanic community, African American community, the Charismatic community. So as I send out to these people, they all forward it.
So your list is 150, which is impressive considering you started with like 30. But it really reaches far many more people than that.
Oh, yes.
And how do you operate it? So how does it function on a daily basis?
Throughout, every morning I try to get something out. So anything that comes in after I send out that morning prayer list, I compile it. And when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is check to see if any prayer requests came in during the night, put them all together, and email them out to all the people on my list.
And do you kind of have a threshold for how many you'll include, or do you send the same request to everybody, or do you kind of divide it up? How does that work?
No, I send the same request to everybody. There are days where I may only have 3. There are other days where I may have 25.
Oh, wow. And how do people get to you with their requests?
They can either email me, and a lot of people find it through the website.
So if they go to the website about the prayer ministry, there's a way for people to send an email.
Right.
That comes to you, and then you kind of go through it. And what are some of the typical kinds of prayers people make?
big one is health issues and cancer. It's overwhelming when you see how many people have cancer. Marriage problems. Oh, it's so sad that so many problems with troubled marriages. Their kids, children who left the church, children who are on drugs, requests for children. So they're the big ones, but it's amazing the prayers that people need each day. People losing their homes.
And what are the responses that you typically get from your prayer ministers, the people on the team who, from my experience, they seem to be really generous and really eager to think that their prayer alone can help somebody?
I think they're all the same mindset. Their prayer tied together with the prayers of all the other prayer ministers make a powerful resource to place before God's throne. And I think what makes this prayer ministry really special is when people send in their prayer requests, the first thing I do is email back and say, thank you. I'm going to send this out to our prayer ministers. And then I ask them, please update me from time to time on how Mary or Bill or Sam is doing. And people do. So that when I send out my prayer requests each day, I usually have two or three updates. Like, we prayed for Mary yesterday. Her surgery went well. She's in recovery. The doctor said she'll be out by Friday. People own it. It's part of their lives now.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore, and we're speaking with Pat Nadolny of the Archdiocese of Baltimore's prayer ministry. We'll be back in just a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world from the Catholic Review. Pope Francis, on April 8th, released an apostolic exhortation titled Amoris Laetitia, translated as The Joy of Love. Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore called the document an expression of the Church's wisdom with regard to marriage and family life. The Archbishop and other local Catholics involved in marriage and family ministry praised the Pope for issuing a document that reaffirmed Church teaching while emphasizing the pastoral elements of accompanying families that don't always meet the Church's ideal. In the document, the Pope said, "No family drops down from heaven perfectly formed. Families need to constantly grow and mature in the ability to love." Archbishop Laurie said the Pope identifies a lot of problems that he thinks most families, when they read it, will say, "The Pope understands. The Pope is listening. The Pope is appreciating the problems they are going through." Three students from each of the Archdiocese's 20 Catholic high schools have been named Distinctive Scholars for 2016. They were honored April 4th during a convocation at Mercy High School. Read about some of these exemplary students online at CatholicReview.org and in the May edition of the Catholic Review magazine. The Archdiocesan Office of Marriage and Family Life is hosting town hall meetings about families at locations around the Archdiocese in April. The sessions will be led by the office's new director, Edward Herrera. All are welcome to attend, but the sessions will be especially helpful for priests, deacons, and anyone involved in marriage preparation or marriage enrichment programs. Upcoming sessions will be held April 26th in Falston and April 28th in Towson. Visit archbalt.org for locations and additional details. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Christopher Gunty.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
We're back speaking with Pat Nadolny of the Prayer Ministry for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. So you've been doing this now for a while, and knowing you, you've done this informally for your whole life. So any examples stand out for you of, you know, for people who may be skeptical about this prayer work? I would imagine that, that you have some stories or know of some people whose experience with prayer would convince even the most ardent skeptic.
I do. And on our prayer, our website, we have answered prayer. I'm thinking of Steve. Steve was probably one of the first who wrote back and told us about the answered prayer. Steve's wife was perfectly healthy on a Sunday. By Tuesday, she was in ICU. They didn't think she was going to make it. He called us for prayer. We rallied the troops. By the next week, when her daughter had her baby, she was healthy. She was able to go. She was still in the hospital, but she was able to go to the maternity ward and to see the new baby and to hold her grandchild, because prayers were answered.
And when Steve got back to you, he acknowledged that there was no logical medical reason for what happened.
Yeah.
And he attributed it to the prayers of the people who immediately responded.
Yes. But, you know, another one that really touches my heart when I go back and read those answered prayers, it was from a woman who came to us because her brother-in-law was going to lose his leg. And he was a young father, and he supported a family. And so we prayed to save the leg. And when she wrote back her answered prayer, she said he lost his leg. But the whole thing was the strength that they felt going through each day, that they could actually feel the strength of the people that were holding them up in prayer. And yes, her prayers weren't answered the way she thought they would be, but she knew that they were a different family and that they could face anything now.
Because they weren't alone.
They weren't alone.
I've got to think that this is a pretty rewarding ministry for you, especially after working in a different capacity for so many years.
It is. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, in those years, I was 25 years in the Archbishop's office. I did some pretty fun and exciting things. I mean, I got to plan when Mother Teresa came to Baltimore to dedicate the Missionaries of Charity. And I got to meet Mother Teresa. I got to work on the papal visit, and I got to meet Pope John Paul. I staffed the Catholic Orthodox Dialogue in Emmitsburg for 12 days, and we flew Orthodox in from around the world. And yet, when I look back at it, it all pales in comparison to this. I mean, it's nothing compared to the joy of working with these people each and every day.
And you get to see the best part of the church helping people in their lives.
And that the church, you know, church is a big word, and we fall into church. And I think people start to realize that they're part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And that something bigger really cares about them.
And you do hear that, too, when people, you know, don't know about the prayer ministry. And then you say, oh, did you know we have this? Mm-hmm. They're surprised by that.
Yeah.
Because it's not a typical Catholic thing, although we would think, oh, we're, you know, Catholics pray. But it's a little bit outside of the comfort zone of a lot of Catholics, too, because it's a little evangelical, right?
Oh, yeah. So am I.
Right. That's not a bad thing. I mean,
no.
it's just different. So people are surprised when they learn of it.
And you know, I think about it. I think we all talk missionary disciples and evangelization, and we picture it as something really big, a program that we need to achieve. And Mary and Sam, Catholic, in their own little world, in their homes, in their offices, they can reach out and be missionary disciples. And they can change the lives of people.
So your ministry helps people who need prayer or want to pray for other people. How does it help someone who just wants to become a better prayer, say, for themselves? You know, they want to communicate with God in a more regular, a more fruitful way. is it the resources that you're able to provide? Is it, you know, what would you say to someone who wants to do that?
Well, that's, I think people can go on resources, but I find when people really want to broaden their prayer life, they'll call and ask, you know, how can I pray better? And I always tell them the most important thing is to start small, to make an appointment each day with God. And He doesn't care how much time you can give to Him at the beginning, to set 10 minutes aside and say, this time belongs to God and I'm blocking everything else out. And I always tell them, you know, tomorrow if you fail, God doesn't care you fail, just start again tomorrow. And I find that the more you do that, the more you're able to expand your prayer life. And I mean, for me personally, I think of, I'm old. I've been doing this for a long time. And I think, gosh, I'm to a point where the first hour of my day belongs to God. I get up, I check the prayer line to make sure there's nobody that's really needs to hear from me that day. I read the scriptures for the day. I read what Pope Francis has to say. And I spend quiet time with God. I read, you know, it's important that you set time for Him.
So, and that gets your day started.
Gets my day started. And as I said, you learn, I think, from your appointed time with God, you learn to be a spontaneous prayer, where prayer is just a part of every moment. I mean, I have found myself when I do something really bad, and I realize, Pat, that was stupid and you shouldn't have done it, I find myself able to say, oh, Lord, please forgive me.
Right away.
You grow to keep your accounts short with God.
And that brings me to my next question. Prayer doesn't have to be formal, right?
Nope.
I mean, I think we grow up in the church feeling like, all right, we pray the Our Father, we pray the Hail Mary, we pray the Memorare. But we can talk to God and to Jesus without.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably, for me, that's the best kind of prayer, because it's, you can't hide anything from God.
Yeah.
He knows it all. So when you come to Him, just talking to Him, you're yourself, you're you. And I love the Jewish word Abba for Father, because basically you're holding the conversation with your daddy, where you just share whatever you need to share.
Just, He wants to take your burdens.
He wants to take it. He wants to listen.
Tell them what they are.
Yeah.
And if someone who wants to be a part of the prayer ministry team, some pray for other people, how do they get in touch with you to do that?
Okay.
So would they go to the website?
The website would be great. It's archbolt.org. An email, which is also easy, prayers with an S at archbolt.org. And I will get back to you right away. We'll talk. We'll make it happen.
So a brief conversation, then from then on, it's all email pretty much.
I had a new prayer minister called on Tuesday, Granny Blake. She said, I'd like to be a prayer minister. And I said, I was a little worried because she sounded like she was at least 105. And I said, do you have a computer? Oh, yeah, I have a computer. I said, okay, well, I need your email address. And she said, it's Granny Blake.
So, anybody who wants to learn more about the Archdiocese and Prayer Ministry, or if they want to become a prayer minister, they go to the website, archbolt.org. They can also send an email to prayers@archbolt.org, and you'll be in touch with them.
I'll be in touch with them right away.
Great. Pat Nadolny from the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Prayer Ministry, thanks for all you do, and thanks for being here today.
Glad to be here.
On Sunday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at the Basilica of the Assumption in downtown Baltimore, people of all faiths will gather on the one-year anniversary of the unrest in Baltimore to pray for peace and healing. The Interfaith Prayer Service is being hosted by a large group of faith leaders who are committed to bringing peace to the citizens and communities of Baltimore. Archbishop William Laurie is among those organizing the prayer service. Parking is available at the adjacent parking garage on Franklin and Cathedral Streets. The service will feature scriptural readings and brief reflections, as well as musicians and choirs from various faiths. All are welcome at this prayerful event as we seek to bring peace and healing to the city of Baltimore as we reflect on the events of last year and dedicate ourselves to moving Baltimore forward, from hope to wholeness. For more information, visit archbalt.org. That's archbalt.org. For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.